Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards, Keith Alexander with you. Like all white supremacists, we love the music of Chuck Berry. Isn't that what they all do, Keith? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. But anyway, I mean, look, great music came from the black community in the 50s and 60s. I mean, no one can deny that. At least no decent thinking, rationally thinking person can. Chuck Berry, Smokey Robinson, the Motown sound with the Temptations, the Four Tops, the Supremes, the Marvelettes. I mean, I'm not talking about their politics, mind you. I'm just talking about some of the music they put out. That was good stuff. Sam Cooke. I mean, come on. I didn't know what soul music was until I heard Bring It On Home to Me. And just listening to that song, it all made sense. Stevie Wonder. But unfortunately, like everything else, black music has not gotten better since the 50s and 60s. It's gotten progressively worse, and to the point now that it's just an abomination. I mean, Keith and I were talking about some of our guilty pleasures, and we still like watching sports. And I was sharing with Keith that when I was a kid, one of my first memories back in 1988, watching professional sports, my dad and I were laying on the beanbag. We had one of these satellite dishes that was like as big as, you know, something you'd see at a TV news station back in the 80s. You know, it wasn't DirecTV yet. You had these big dishes that you had to move them. When you change the channel, you could actually see the dish swirling around. Anyway, back in 88, we were flipping through and we saw the Portland Trailblazers playing the Dallas Mavericks. And in that game, I was 8 years old. Clyde Drexler had 50-something points in a triple overtime game. And from that day forward, and still to this day as a 32-year-old grown man, I remain a Portland Trailblazer fan. Now, certainly, I don't cheer for them with the vigor that I did as a kid. But I remember watching them when I was 8, 10 years old, you know, Portland teams. I can still name every player on the team in 1990, 1992. Rick Adelman was the coach. He's now the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I remember crying and when they were beaten by the Pistons and the Bulls in the finals back when I was a kid. And even through my teen years, you know, I watched just about every game. Now, if I flip through and see them on, I still want them to win. And I asked myself, and I was asking Keith during the commercial break, you know, why do I still care if they win or lose? I'm married. I have a wife. I have a kid. I don't get to watch much at all anymore. I don't have the time or really the inclination. Here doing this radio show and everything else, the responsibilities that come with being a grown and mature adult, you don't cheer for the things that you did when you were a kid. And I remember my dad telling me one time that, you know, son, one day you won't care as much about it as you do now, and I never believed him, but I understand it now. But still, if I see him on, I want him to win. And I asked Keith, why do I care? And I said, it must be because I'm not so much cheering for the team anymore. I'm cheering for the little boy, the 8-year-old boy who had great memories watching those games with his dad and growing up watching those together. I'm cheering for the memory of the boy and his dad watching those games.
Well, I hate to break it to you, James, but I think there's a more pernicious reason why you're doing this. And, you know, there was a wonderful article at CAS Football, which is a great website. We are personally acquainted with J.B. Cash, the guy that runs that website. And it basically takes on racial issues regarding both professional and major college sports. And he doesn't accept the current mantra that blacks are just better athletes, and that's why they predominate in the NBA and the NFL and in Division I college football and basketball. He says it's because there's active racial discrimination against white kids coming up. And I think he's right. There's an article that he wrote that describes what you're telling us about, recounting to us, which, and that article is called The Opiate of White Dispossession. Sports are a way to get us to accept domination and by racial strangers and dispossession. Now, I got hooked on Ole Miss football before you got hooked on the Portland Trail Blazers. I got hooked on Ole Miss football back in the 60s when Ole Miss, because their nickname was the Rebels, because they played Dixie, because they had a mascot called Colonel Reb, they were the particular animus and the particular focus of attacks from the left back in the day, and they still are to this day. And the reason that I followed up with becoming an Ole Miss fan was because they showed an all-white team populated by white Southerners, for the most part, triumphing over teams from all over the nation. They, you know, people have a hard time believing this now, but back in the 50s and 60s, Ole Miss was Alabama before Alabama was Alabama. They were the toast of Southern football. They, at the time that the SEC was integrated, I think it was in 1971, they had the longest string of bowl appearances of any college team in the United States. Of course, integration scuttled their ship. They went on a 12-year bowl drought right after that. But Ole Miss represented the triumph of my people. So I got involved with them because I had a sense, a healthy sense, I would maintain, of racial solidarity back in those days. Now, why am I following them now when it looks like Jackson State versus Grambling out there when Mississippi State and Ole Miss are playing in the Egg Bowl tonight and we've been switching back and forth to the game? Why do I have any type of attachment to them at all? Well, I now am wiser about it. I don't live and breathe and let my spirits either rise or fall based on what they do. I do it because I respect what they used to be. On the other hand, I don't support what they have become. They have become the most slavish adherence to political correctness of any institution, I think, that you can name now, because they are run by elites. The chancellor of Ole Miss, the coaches of the Ole Miss teams, they're as much elites in today's world, driven by economism. They're getting high salaries because in this new regime, so consequently they're not going to criticize it or question it, because if they did, they're likely to lose their sinecures. And if they lose their sinecures, then they're just average people like you and me. But nonetheless, you have these white coaches that preside over almost all black teams, and these all black teams keep making mistakes. It seems to be the peculiar province of all black teams. You have receivers that drop passes that are right in their hands. You see them fumbling kickoffs and punt returns. You see them missing blocks and assignments all the time. And you didn't see this back in the day when the teams were predominantly white. Also, you didn't see these humongous, morbidly obese linemen that can't play four downs at a time. If you look back at the Archie Manning era and the era before that, Jake Gibbs, Glenn Griffin, Eagle Day, people like that when they played in the 50s and 60s, you'll see plenty of big lads playing football. You had linemen who were typically 6'4" and 6'5", but they didn't have an ounce of fat on them, and they were small.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh,
all right, everybody. When we were in that commercial break, Keith said, "Let's play Frosty the Snowman by Gene Autry." I said, "Let's play Frosty the Snowman by Jimmy Durante." Sam Bushman said, "Let's play Frosty the Snowman by Willie Nelson." And by God, that's the one we got. No. Just kidding. Sam ran out of time. We were hurling requests at our resident DJ this evening. But that was good. Willie Nelson did a stand up rendition of Frosty the Snowman, and so we continue on this evening. Keith, we were talking about our love of sports. I played basketball in high school. You played football. So we both gravitated towards those sports when it came time to become a fan. You have your story, I have mine, but there is a contemporary story that tickles our political funny bone with regards to the NBA. I mentioned that the current coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves was the coach of the Portland Trail Blazers during my days as a young man and as a boy. Rick Adelman. And Minnesota has made news this week. They are the whitest team in the NBA, and it has not gone unnoticed. In fact, they're getting slammed by it, the fact that they have more white players than anybody, any other team in the league now. The Timberwolves only have 33% of their roster represented by black players. Now, Keith, what is the representation of blacks in the general population of America? What's their percentage? 13%. So they are overrepresented on the Minnesota Timberwolves roster by 20%. They represent 33% of the Timberwolves roster, only 13% of the population. However, The average in the NBA, the average roster of the NBA team is 78% black. So the fact that the average roster is 78% and Minnesota is 33%, which is only 20% more than the average percentage of black population across the board in the United States, is getting them attacked by local so-called civil rights leaders in Minneapolis. This is the new civil rights crusade, Keith. It's racist if you only have 33% of your roster black. It should be 80 or even 90% made up of a population that represents only 13% of the citizenry.
Well, I tell you what, that's very interesting because it dovetails with an article that I read about all of the horror stories that could come to pass in Obama's second term. Of course, an executive order to grant amnesty to illegals is number one on the hit parade, but very close on its heels is the fact that Eric Holder and the Justice Department are considering enforcing the 64 Civil Rights Act, Title VII, on the basis of disparate impact. In other words, it doesn't matter if a particular policy, like running criminal background checks on prospective employees, is totally race neutral on its face and even race neutral in its intent. If it penalizes protected minorities, quote unquote, in other words, blacks, Hispanics, American Indians, whatnot, more than it does the hated whites, then it is considered discriminatory and a violation of the Civil Rights Act. Well, that's an interesting theory. How would the NBA stack up under a disparate impact analysis? They could say, well, you know, we have this totally race-neutral basis for analyzing talent, and we've decided that black people are just better. It'd be like, you know, some medical school saying, you know, we have the same standard as for black applicants as white applicants. It's just that white applicants tend to be better prepared to go to medical school, have higher academic achievement, do better on the MCAT and other admissions tests, so consequently we're picking them. Well, you notice that we're playing a game here where the rules are heads I win, tails you lose for minorities. If there is disparate impact that does not work in favor of blacks, then that's actionable, and the Justice Department's going to go hammer and tongs after the poor, unfortunate employers that have, used, for example, criminal background checks in screening their applicant pool. On the other hand, if there is disparate impact against whites, in other words, if blacks are overrepresented by a factor of 5, 6, 7, or 8 in the rosters of the NBA over white people, then white people don't have a thing in the world to complain about. See, this is, you know, all of this stuff is written in a race-neutral basis. The 64 Civil Rights Act, if you read it, purports to be race-neutral, but it is always applied, it is always administered by the EEOC and by the U.S. government against the interest of whites. Another good reason for secession. We can just leave the Civil Rights Act of 1964 totally behind us and say we don't want it, or if we have it, we're going to apply it the way it was written, so that the NBA is going to have no more than 13% black players and 64% white players.
Well, unfortunately, Keith, unless you or I are governor of the state of Tennessee, that's not likely to happen, seeing the caliber of governors of the so-called New South, like the groveling, emasculated Mike Huckabee, for instance. But by the way, and I know this has been talked about quite a bit in, again, pop culture this week, but did you notice that in Division III, a white player, and he was white, had 138 points in a ball game last week. 138 points set the all-time NCAA record for points in a game by a single player. Obviously, 138, Division I, II, or III.
Well, I was listening to ESPN Sports, and the slavishly anti-white white announcer was denouncing this kid as a fraud and a phony and saying that there was no way in the world that he should get recognition for this because they didn't put a designated player on there to be the hatchet man, so to speak, and foul him at every opportunity, and that if they had done that, there's no way he could have scored 138 points. And he compared him disparagingly to the so-called great Wilt Chamberlain, who scored 100 points in the NBA back in the early 60s. I called up the show, and I told him Wilt Chamberlain was nothing but a stiff and a big goon. I actually saw him play. The guy was not athletically inclined whatsoever. He could not score if he was more than 10 feet away from the basket, and most of the time he was within 5 feet of the basket. And furthermore, if they had put a designated defender, hatchet man, so to speak, on Wilt Chamberlain in that game, there's no way he could have scored 100 points. And the reason is Wilt Chamberlain could not make a free throw. He made Shaq look like the free throw shooting ace. This guy used to bend down between the knees like Rick Barry and throw up balls. And I mean, he didn't get one out of 20 in there. He was the sorriest free throw shooter I ever saw. And I said, this guy, this 5'10" guard for Grinnell College in Iowa, obviously has so much more hand-eye coordination, athletic ability, and general agility compared to Wilt Chamberlain that they shouldn't even be considered together. The only thing that Wilt Chamberlain had was height. He was about a foot taller than most people in the NBA back when he played, and height tends to be a big advantage in playing basketball. I told him that if they were throwing the ball in a manhole rather than in a hoop suspended 10 feet above the ground, the NBA would be populated by a lot of millionaire midgets.
We'll be back right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. Cardioprim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Come a little closer, children. I've got a story to tell.
Oh, gee.
It's about a man you've heard of, and I knew him well.
How well?
He was born on a cold winter's morning and went on to gain great fame. But may I begin my story and refer to him by name?
Please do.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman made the children smile, they say. And were they surprised when he rolled his eyes and he came to life that day? There must have
two
been
words,
some
ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Durante, Frosty the Snowman, Jimmy Durante. You know, if all the brain power that my mind has dedicated to the trivial knowledge of oldies singers and basketball rosters of the mid-90s and late 80s, if all that had been redirected to something productive, I mean, I'd be a nuclear physicist today. It's just incredible. And in movie trivia, I mean, I've got all that down. The hard science is, well, better than most, but not good enough to make a living out of it. So here I am in talk radio. I landed in the middle. Welcome back to this show. I tell you, you know, we came in here tonight without a script. And, we never have a script. We normally have a loose outline of things we want to talk about. Tonight we didn't even have that because it was Thanksgiving this week, and we didn't have a chance to get together and talk about the agenda for the show as we typically do. But we're having a good time, nevertheless, and it's making for good radio. Keith Alexander with me for the full 3 hours tonight. And, Keith, we're turning on to the home stretch. You want to cover this now?
No, let's get back on
You want to get back to sports a little bit more? As we just see that Keith's alma mater, the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, up 27-17 over Mississippi State tonight. Portland, by the way, beat Minnesota. We were talking about Minnesota Timberwolves. Portland beat them last night. And I was excited about that. My wife and I were wrapping presents. The baby had gone to bed. We were wrapping presents. I was watching the game. All is well in the world today, Keith. Both of our teams are winning. And here we are doing the radio show simultaneously while watching the game tracker on CBSSports.com.
And we were just talking over the break. Can you imagine black people filling stadiums to watch a team that was 100% or 90% non-white? White. They would not. They don't even show up to watch their 90% black teams play. In fact, we were commenting about this. If you see a black person at an NBA game or at a college football game, it's usually because some white person has given them a ticket. They don't. They think they should make money at these things. They are not into spending money. And one thing that I've noticed too is that with black people here in Memphis, if they show their colors, so to speak, for any type of a sports team, it's always a professional team. You'll see plenty of San Francisco 49er banners, Pittsburgh Steeler banners are particularly coveted in the black community, Oakland Raiders, but you're not going to see an Ole Miss Rebel, you're not going to see a Tennessee Volunteer, you're not going to see an Arkansas Razorback or an Alabama Crimson Tide stuff. And there's a reason for that. Black people apparently got the memo that people that play Division I sports aren't supposed to get paid. So they consider college sports the AAA, the minor leagues, the Bush leagues. And they only really want to focus their attention on guys like them that become multimillionaires playing a child's game. For example, you know, I've never, ever seen a kid that was an aspiring baseball player say that he aspired to be a Memphis Redbird or an Albuquerque Isotope or, you know, you name the minor league team. They want to be New York Yankees or St. Louis Cardinals. Well, blacks take that same reasoning to football and basketball, and they have no allegiance whatsoever, no more allegiance to, let's say, the University of Alabama or Notre Dame than they do to the Albuquerque Isotopes or the Memphis Redbirds. Of course, they don't follow baseball at all because baseball is a white and Hispanic domain. It is not a place where I think blacks are like 8% of the major leagues. They don't dig it. And this is an occasion for great weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth for the people in Major League Baseball. On the other hand, you know, they have this thing called the RBI program here in Memphis and in all other cities. RBI stands for Return Baseball to the Inner City. On the other hand, we have an NBA team here in Memphis, Memphis Grizzlies, that are doing quite well, by the way, and have really a good team and a good coach, a black coach, by the way, Lionel Hollins, who played for James's sainted Portland Trailblazers back in the day when they were so black they were known in the NBA as the Portland Jailblazers. But, you know, I've never seen the NBA initiate a similar program, the RBS program, Return Basketball to the Suburbs. You're not going to see that. See, there is a heads I win, tails you lose mentality working here. And white people are the only people that put up with the disrespect. We've got to stop putting up with the disrespect. I follow Ole Miss, but I will not pay for a ticket. I either get given a ticket or else I don't go. Because this is, I'm not going to feed the beast. I'm not going to feed my own dispossession. And, James, I hope you don't have Portland Trailblazer season tickets. I'm sure you don't, because the only way you travel that far is to see Frankie Valli.
Well, and Frankie don't play 82 nights a year, so that's a long commute up to the great Pacific Northwest. But I got to correct you on one thing. And when it comes to Portland Trailblazer trivia, we got to get it right. Now, Lionel Hollins played for Portland's championship team in the 1977 season. Now, that was certainly well before the Jailblazer era of the late 90s, early 2000s. But by the way, they had the greatest European center in the history of basketball, NBA or otherwise, and he was my all-time favorite player. In fact, some of my cousins nicknamed me Sabas because I mimicked his moves on the court, those of Arvydas Sabonis from Lithuania. To watch him pass, wow, no, that man could shoot. He's 7'3", could shoot threes, pass better than any point guard. He's in the NBA Hall of Fame. Anyway, we're talking about all this trivial stuff, and I guess it's trivial in a way. We're having a fun night. This is the kind of show you'd expect on a holiday weekend. We're talking about stuff. It's serious. It's trivial. It's a mix. I got an email in just now, Keith, from something we got to cover, and then we're going to cover one of your stories to close it all out. European accomplishment. Now, this puts everything into perspective. All of the kids' games aside, this is what it's all about. This is why this shows exist, to defend and serve as a voice for the people that made such technology and advancement possible in the first place. Yes, we have our guilty pleasures like everyone, but at the end of the day, we serve a higher calling, and even higher than Ole Miss football and Portland basketball. In his 2003 book, and this is a fact that, folks, you should take to heart. In his 2003 book, Human Accomplishment, Pursuit of Excellence in the Arts and Sciences from 800 BC to 1950, Charles Murray argued that the great artistic and scientific accomplishments were overwhelmingly European. Should come as no surprise to our audience. But here are the facts. In other words, white. What the human species is today, he wrote, it owes an astonishing degree to what was accomplished in just a half dozen centuries by the peoples of one small portion of the northwestern Eurasian landmass. Murray did his calculating the amount of space allocated to these individuals in reference works, encyclopedias, museums, and dictionaries. Based on this metric, he concluded that, whether measured in people or events, 97% of accomplishment in the sciences occurred in Europe or in North America from 800 BC to 1950. Keith, that is a fact, and that is astounding, even better than the Ole Miss championships of the 1960s.
And it wasn't done by George Washington Carver, so-called invention of peanut butter or something like this. And of course, all of these black invention myths that you hear about have been totally debunked. I remember back in the 1980s, in the first wave of political correctness, the local newspaper, The Commercial Appeal, had a weekly article about great black inventors. And they ended this because they just couldn't come up with enough. But I remember some of the absolutely hilarious inventions and inventors they came up with. For example, one of the great black inventors that they featured in one of these events was a Right Reverend Nokomis Yeldell of Memphis, no less. And he held and holds the United States patent for the pilfer-proof collection plate. He was a minister, and this collection plate has a plate on it that you slip the bill in, and you can't allow the people in the congregation to make change in the collection plate because apparently he thought his congregants were stealing from him. I said, that's a great black inventor right there, James.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Long Range Patrol Ration Entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Yeah.
Alexander selection there, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Keith, you want to explain yourself?
Well, just innocent, childish pleasure, I guess, is Alvin and the Chipmunks. You know, again, you know, an icon of the 50s, a little emblem of the innocence of the time. And, you know, everything we've been playing basically harks back to a kinder, gentler America that existed before the triumph of liberalism. Liberalism is ugly. It pretends to be based on benevolence and tolerance, when actually the animating force behind it is envy and resentment. And that ugliness that comes from envy and resentment shows in everything that liberalism has accomplished.
That being said, another thing liberalism has accomplished is the destruction of the public school system, which continues to this day. Keith has brought in an article to the studio, which I'll read and then toss it back to him for commentary. Poor performance on tests jolts schools, emphasizes extended day. The article reads, early test results a few weeks ago showed that students of the state's Achievement School District on average are performing in the 16th percentile in the nation in reading and math. At a gut level, we intuitively knew kids were coming in that far behind, said ASD Superintendent Chris Barbic. But emotionally, even Barbic was stunned. His job is to take the schools from the bottom 5% in the state to the top 25%. He has 5 years to do it. Every year, the feat will increase as the number of schools assigned to the ASD grows. This year, there will be 6. Next year, there will be 13. Principals reshuffled, teachers putting the strongest in front of the lowest performers. They group students in small groups by ability. They bought more chocolate and coffee for staff and dug in. An example of the drilling down is the Power Hour at Corning Elementary in Frazier, which, if anyone outside of Memphis doesn't know, is an all-black area of Memphis. The last hour of the day, an extra hour of school from roughly 3:15 to 4:15 p.m. is dedicated to what educators like to call intervention, reteaching in small groups, one-on-one, or through online programs, the skills the data shows they missed from the morning or late last week. This is the whole reason why we have extended the day. We are building in this time to work on these skills. Now, folks, you'll have to bear with me here as I turn to the last page of the article. I'm reading straight from the Memphis local Fish Rep here. Quietly, school administrators admit the early test results were a punch in the stomach until they looked deeper and saw that kindergartners were coming in only slightly behind. The big gaps were in children who had been in school longer. Westside sixth graders, for example, tested at a second grade reading level. Are you kidding me? Sixth graders tested at a second grade reading level, which means they stayed longer. They stayed longer in school in poor performing schools, the more ground they lost. The school district is modeled after the Recovery School District in New Orleans, which was expanded when Katrina wiped out most of the schools in Orleans Parish. At Corning, one of the Frazier AESD schools, remember this is an all-black area, run by the state, every student down to kindergarten will visit a college this year. Kindergartners getting their college visits, that's a new one. Yeah, even the sixth graders reading at a second grade level, they'll go to college too. It's a subtle message now, but that's where we think we're headed with this. The idea is to start thinking about college, start seeing what people are doing with their lives and where they want, where they went to school for those skills. Okay, Keith, break down what I just read for the audience and why we brought it to the program tonight, if you will be so kind. And this is our final segment.
Well, this is our Behind Enemy Lines segment, and this tells you here in the laboratory of liberal experimentation we call the Memphis school system just exactly what's going on and what you have to look forward to in areas that aren't as blessed with multiculturalism as Memphis. You people in Salt Lake City, Utah, for example, or in Dubuque, Iowa. This is the lead-in quote to the article from one Jamaica Jackson, principal, Corning Elementary. This is not a student problem. This is a teacher problem. Yeah, keep lying to yourself about that, Jamaica. We are here because we believe we are the solution and we can do this. There is nothing wrong with the children. Well, you can continue, Jamaica, to try to make silk purses out of sow's ears till the cows come home, but you cannot change human nature. As the Roman poet Juvenal said, you can run Mother Nature out with a pitchfork, but she will ever hasten back. You cannot turn these children into Albert Einstein with one more government program, one more infusion of cash, one more infusion of teachers. This is based on the fact that there are quantifiable differences in the median IQ of American blacks and American whites. 15 points. Average black IQ is 85. The average white IQ is 100. And as Charles Murray and Richard Herrnstein demonstrated in that book that liberals love to hate, The Bell Curve, that came out in 1994 or 5, this is ever more accentuated by the fact that human intelligence for any group is distributed along a bell curve, not a pyramid that slopes down at the same angle, but you take the median, like 85, you go out and that's the top of the bell, and then it drops off the cliff and tails off. Because of the bell curve phenomenon for the distribution of education, the 15-point differential means this. Only 16% of black people have an IQ equal to or greater than the average white IQ in America. Okay? 16%. Only 16% are as smart or smarter than the average white person. Likewise, only 16% of whites, when you look at these two overlapping bell curves, are as dumb or dumber than the average black person in America. And despite all of these Herculean efforts done by groups like the ironically Orwellian-named Achievement School District, it should be called the Non-Achievement School District, this 15-point differential stubbornly persists to this day as it has since they started measuring IQ back in the early 1920s. This is reality, people. You know, live in Realville, not in fantasy land. Because of this, efforts to eliminate disparate impact, for example, more blacks not getting into medical schools than whites, that's nothing that you can, the only way you can avoid that is through totalitarian, racially prejudiced means, by giving blacks preferences. And that's why we have affirmative action, because by hook or crook, the left is going to populate American business, American medicine, American law, all the goodies in society, admission to highly selective schools, based on affirmative action or race norming, where, like, say, if the top 5% of whites get in, then the top 5% of blacks get in, even though there may be 20 or 25 or even more differential points in IQ between the two groups, they're going to create a class of black elites. And of course, the whites that are really hurt by this are the whites that don't have special pull or sanctions in their favor, people that are not the children of elites, but the children of the middle class, lower middle class, or the working class. There has never been a worse time in America to be a poor white person, because you have no refuge or resource. In South Africa, they are proposing a law that penalizes, by removing their tax-exempt status, any charity in South Africa that gives any benefits whatsoever to whites under any circumstances. You know, they don't need that law in America because we already have that reality. If you will look at every charity that you see, every charity that helps children meet college expenses, every charity that helps feed the poor, the hungry, whatnot, they're all focused on helping non-whites. And if they help whites at all, it is totally a coincidence. In fact, their intention is to eliminate the white beneficiaries altogether. And this ASD program, for example, the ironically named Achievement School District, of course, all the good teachers that they send in there are predominantly white. And when they don't succeed in turning sow's ears into silk purses, they're fired. So it serves a dual purpose. One, it supposedly helps get the best teachers teaching the worst students who are black. And secondly, it helps get rid of white teachers in the Memphis school system, opening up slots for minorities, which is really their secret agenda to begin with. This is the Orwellian world that we live in, where truth is falsehood and falsehood is truth.
Folks, we're out of time tonight. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. On behalf of the entire staff and crew here in Memphis and at the network at Liberty News Radio in Utah, God bless you. Have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to have a lot of fun between now and Christmas, so stay tuned each and every week to TPC right here on Liberty News Radio Network. God bless y'all. We'll see you next Saturday.